Conger is an intuitive guide, psychic medium, and trauma-informed somatic therapist facilitator. With a unique blend of intuitive practices and mindfulness techniques, she helps individuals reconnect with their internal compass and achieve a balanced mind, body, spirit connection. Alyssa's approach emphasizes intuition as a powerful tool for alignment and healing, guiding her clients toward greater clarity and understanding in their lives. Through her mentorship, she empowers others to tap into their innate wisdom and live authentically. Buckle up. This convo, you're not ready. You're not ready. Y'all already heard who we're talking to today, and we all know that I think that describing yourself, depending on the day, is super important to just kind of like see where you are. So my first question is, who are you?
Well, today someone described me as the spirit guide mushroom model who's awakening the masses one day at a time, and that's why the FBI is so pissed. So I think I'll go with that.
Okay, my name, that is deep.
And I'm pissing off the FBI.
Hey guys. Hey guys, I'm Alyssa. It's cool.
Hey.
I love this. How did we meet?
We met through Feed the Streets back when it was just the baby empire of Feed the Streets as it was growing in the like very beginning. I think it was the very beginning, the scary part of COVID when we thought that like, right. I think it was during that. Yeah. When we thought we were going to die and we're like, we got to get groceries to the people. that's how we met.
We're like, we might die, but people need food.
They need food. They need macaroni and cheese, man. Yeah.
That's really true.
And I think primarily now, over video too. Meeting in person took a long time.
Years.
Yep.
Yeah. It took years. You know, I've also learned doing these podcasts that most of my friendships are like well-maintained over the internet. Mm-hmm. Social media, shout out to you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, bless.
So we're going to get into the fun parts.
Okay.
What does trauma mean to you?
To me, it means a few things. I think it can be sort of the essential negative-ish building blocks to the lens that you view life. Trauma are instances that occur that impact how you're able to function. And then if you're going to go into like the real term of it, it is just, you know, how quickly can you return back to like a base level after something happening that is negative and affects you, that takes you out of alignment with like who you are, is how I view trauma.
So today we're talking about, because I asked my guests like, what do you want to talk about? People like, ooh, it's the thing I've been waiting. Today we are talking about something that I think has shaped both of us in the ways that we navigate things, but we are talking about how childhood trauma affects relationships.
Boy,
everyone's welcome. We're gonna process this. We'll see how it goes. Why did she want to talk about that today?
I want to talk about this today because throughout the moment I became aware of, you know, these things kind of informing how I'm relating to people, I was able to look back at my relationship history and go, oh. Got it. Okay, so I can see how, and we're still dealing with it. Just because I have the awareness of it doesn't mean that I've figured out how to get it to knock it off.
Sure.
You know, we're still different layers, different things. But it's a really important one for me because as soon as I realized, there's an instance that we'll end up talking about, I'm sure. When I realized that my behavior was what attracted some really traumatic and negative experiences, that I was very lucky and fortunate that for whatever reason in my mind it clicked over and I was able to kind of start working on my own behavior. And I want to be careful to say the word victim because I was a victim to the situation, but also it removed some of that victimhood from me when I was like, oh, I kind of called this in unconsciously. And that like, that's definitely like a taking the power back thing when you can be accountable to what you played into bringing in these kinds of relationships, which then ties back into like, how do we get there? Oh, there's some stuff that happened in childhood that makes sense for how we got here.
So that means oh my God, who's calling? Which means we have to start in childhood. So who was baby Alyssa? Like, how did we get here?
Well, we got here the birds and the bees happened at some point somehow. We don't even know why that was happening between my parents, but it did. Okay. And from that point, my mom would always say that I would just go, I don't know. And that was just how I was a smart ass from the womb. So that was baby Alyssa before shit hit the fan. I would say that when I look at my childhood, I would call it just like classic dysfunction, but I actually don't know if that is a real thing.
What does that mean?
To me, I'm like, I was fed. My mom loved me very much. I had my like basic needs met. I even got to do some extra things, but there were certainly some, oops, capital T moments that occurred in childhood that I think are like the big, like dramatic ones. And then there's just your like very, like, I'm pretty sure that my dad and my stepdad could have written the book on daddy issues and they delivered it to me as like the test subject, but you know, that's okay. So I would say that to me feels like your classic dysfunction. And then the big things that happened, look, there's some stuff in like very like teeny, teeny, tiny. I have a very bad memory of my child, of being a kid. I don't really remember very much of it, which is an indicator of trauma.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some memories that are very foggy that no one really knows what happened. We weren't ever able to investigate around 3 to 4 years old. There's a man involved. I don't know his face. I think I know who it is. You know, there's like some of those things.
Yeah.
Diddling from teeny tiny. And then growing up into my teen years, when I was thinking about this morning, like kind of how did these things happen here? I think when I mentioned to you, like the over-sexualization of being a young person, I tried to play into that to making it my power. And I think a lot of girls actually do this. What the fuck were all adult men in their 20s doing with me as like a teen emo kid?
Yes.
What were you
doing? Let's have this talk.
What were you doing with me? Why were you in my Honda?
Let's have this talk. Let's have this talk though, because seriously, like I remember even like going back, because I'm a little bit older than you, even in like high school, when girls are like, yeah, my boyfriend's like 20. And I'm like, we are 15. What the fuck are we doing? Why?
Why are you fucking
and even
me?
In college? In undergrad, I remember distinctly, I was 18 and I was just like, oh my God, I've never been out of my fucking house. And like these groups, like groups of frat guys coming to our dorm room door and knocking and being like, hey, and they ranged from like, I'm 18. They range from like 19 to like 29. What is that?
Like, as me, now I'm finally an adult. I'm the adult. Like, I remember my older boyfriend telling me when I was 15, he's like, you're gonna be so hot when you're 25. And I was like, that's weird.
Thanks. How old was he?
So I was 14 and I think he was just about to be 18. So like our year gap wasn't that big, but like, let me just tell you, he was coming to my middle school to pick me up in his car.
See?
And I was like,
we should be on skateboards and bikes, scooters and shit.
Yeah, well, I'm like, oh, here's yeah. Where the like the trauma can like really lay in. And like my family has discussed it. We like really worked on trying to heal from this. It was all that my mom knew to do. And I'm the oldest kid. So we know that stuff happens to the oldest kid where you're trying to figure out how to raise them.
Yeah.
But like we were super religious, right? So sex shame in general, existing is shameful. Being a woman is shameful. All of the above is shameful. So I was like, really, I was like, I'm gonna stay pure. La, 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 la. I'm gonna stay here. And then I meet my older boyfriend in this, and I can see now that this was that power play thing where I was like, I'm now conscious about it. Like, if I'm already being sexualized by all these adult men, like I'm gonna try to like date them and like see if I can like switch the dynamics. Because in my mind, it was more I had the power if I was kind of giving it up first. But I was still a virgin at this time. I was still clean and clear, whatever. And then he, here we go. I'm not going to say any names, but here it was, I was begging him to just let me keep my virginity until I turned 15 because I didn't want to go to hell yet. And so as I was waiting, I was like, I got at least like one more year on here. Yeah,
like some days.
I have some days to like soak this. I really love eighth grade. And before I go to hell, please let me. Fucking weird. I made a deal with him and I begged. I have like a little bit of guilt over this over the years. Like I have to let it go, but listen, she'll know who she is if she hears this podcast. I think about you all the time, sometimes, and I'm sorry. But I begged a girl to go down on my boyfriend with me to give him head with me. Mind you, like, I was terrified of dick. Like, I was like, ah.
Rightfully
but,
so.
But I had to, like, buck up, right? I was like, I gotta keep this boyfriend of mine. And so she agreed. And so in the Northtown Mall parking lot in his car, we both give him head. And, like, I hate spit. Jim, I hate spit. And this might be why. This is the trauma. The trauma is I hate bodily fluids, and it's because of this moment. Her and I are both doing
probably
this whole thing.
It could
and
be.
Probably. And he's like, girl X, she's better at it than you. And I was like, I've never done this before. Anyways, that was a tangential thing about an older man picking me up from school. And anyways, I ended up losing my virginity still when I was 14. I didn't end up in hell, though. It's weird. I mean, this is...
I don't know. Have you looked at
that? I was going to say, it's actually... a different hell than that I thought was going to... that was prescribed for my actions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds like there were many aspects of this childhood trauma. Like, there's the family connection aspect. And so, like, the first men of your life... kind of shit.
Poo-poo. I mean, bless my dad, he's not with us anymore. But he would sit here and he would... agree. And something that is interesting that I've seen since my dad has seen in myself since my dad has passed, and a relationship that I had during COVID, the effects of my stepdad are actually, I don't want to say greater, but probably equal to my father's absence, which I never wanted to give that stepdad, he's not married to my mom anymore, power. I was always like, we were like, we did not vibe with each other. So I was like, he's definitely not affecting you. And you're like, actually, yes, this adult man who's in your formative years who hates you does affect you. So these kinds of things with my dad, and I worked on healing our relationship right before he died. But the like dismissive kind of disdain, just like energy from adult men towards me as a young kid, I can see that how that plays out in a big way. Because then when the like big capital T trauma starts to happen as I'm an adult, like a young adult, those relationships, I'm like picking men that are horrific, like beating the shit out of me, super like hardcore heroin addicts. And you're just kind of looking at it being like, your life was like not that crazy. Like, you had all the stuff that you need. Why are you doing this? And it's like, well, trying to manipulate what I viewed as someone that was like this first ex that I had that like was really, it's so windy, so violent. I think
it's so windy.
I saw him and I knew that he was bad and really gnarly. It wasn't like an abusive relationship where I was like, I love him so much, I have to stay. It was initially it started out as a game, and I was like, this guy's a fucking idiot, and I'm gonna play ball. Well, he knew how to play ball a lot better than I did, and that turned my shit around. Not that it's okay to abuse people, but I'm just fortunate that I was able to like switch my lens, if that makes sense.
Did you ever see like your mom also navigating this? Because I know sometimes we witness the way like our mothers, because these are the first educators we have, are our parents. And sometimes we see how like they navigate relationships, and it's either like, oh my God, or nah, opposite, girl. Like,
I opposited it. Yeah, my mom and I talk about this. It is something for me that is an extreme overcorrection that I'm still working on. I watched my mom, like, I have my attachment issue is I'm so avoidant, because it's not I'm afraid of falling in love and like getting my heart broken. I'm avoidant because I'm like, well, what I have in my body, I feel that I'll die. Like, I'll literally die and not exist if I'm in relationship. So for me, witnessing my mom, my dad certainly crumbled her confidence. Sorry, mom, I know you're gonna listen to this, but she knows it too. And the ways that he did. And then she married my stepdad, and that was, I don't actually know why they were married. I don't even know if they liked each other. I don't know what that was, but it was also like, he didn't like us. And I know that for her, for whatever was going on with her, that was just her relationship stuff. But for me, I'm like, I'm not fucking around like that. I'm not playing with people that like bring me down and destroy who I am. But I had to play that out first a few times in my early 20s.
Yeah. So is that when you first started being like, ooh, I kind of am catching on? Like, when did you start thinking or like putting it all together?
So
of the connection of the childhood to now?
So it would be the, It's kind of, it was like, oh, sorry, my dog's having a moment. I was dating somebody when I was 20. It's kind of crazy. I was 26 and I was dating someone and the relationship was kind of directly mirroring my mom's with my stepdad. Funny. And we were just talking about life stuff. And I told him this story about how at one point when I got sent away for losing my virginity, I was sent to live with my dad in Idaho. And I was a teenager and I was like, I'm suicidal, blah, blah, blah. I was going to kill myself. Whatever drama I was like spitting. And my dad loaded his pistol, cocked it, and put it on the table. He said, and fucking do it then. And then I didn't realize that that was like not chill. And there was another moment where my dad was like drilling me with questions. I didn't have an answer to it. And he wound his hand up and smacked me across the face so hard. My stepmom like pulled me out of school. It was a thing. But that didn't like ever register to me that these were like moments of abuse, because I wouldn't say my dad's abusive, but there were moments of abuse at that kind of. So he like stopped, we were on a hike, and he goes, he's like, you're too casual about that. That's very bad. And I was like, didn't know. Interesting. So that's when I think it really clicked in to like look at stuff more deeply. When I was 20 is when I was in like an incredibly abusive, like very violent, sexually violent, physically violent relationship. And I could tell that the way I was manipulating men was really gnarly energy coming from me. And that's what was bringing it in. I knew it was like, it was essentially like man hate. I just felt like I just had man hate. I just hated men, but I wasn't able to like tie in fully why that might be, because in my mind everyone's dad does what my dad did, you know. It didn't make sense that that was maybe a little bit unique. I don't know.
Yeah, you didn't know that everyone was getting guns on tables.
Didn't know that.
you know what it's interesting too, right? Like everyone's normal is different. Mm-hmm. Right, like my normal growing up with my grandparents because my mother was murdered is a different normal than, you know, your dad being like, all right, you want to kill yourself? Here's a loaded weapon. What's the game?
Yeah.
And it's truly interesting to hear how you've witnessed so many different power dynamics. Mm-hmm. And like, you did have so many different examples and you got to choose which one made more sense to you. What did you look like in these relationships? Like, how were you showing up that made you really go, huh? Like, I will say, after I was raped when I was 21, it turned into, for how I was showing up, I was fighting men at parties.
Oh,
like I would black out love to and fight.
Yep. Yeah. I used to, I like a little like badge for me. I don't think I've gotten in a fight for maybe 6 years. Hi, my name is Alyssa. Yeah. Yeah, I would fight big men. I would work at like these like bars and people would be drunk. And I think the last fight that I got into was an almost fight where this guy was saying some shit to my friend, and it was always men. I wasn't gonna fight girls. Mm-hmm. Whatever. You know, like, yeah. I was like, and this guy said something to my friend, and I took my Corona bottle and I like swung it over my head, and my friend Ray grabs my hand and he's like, we're not gonna do that. And I was like, yeah, maybe we're like a little bit past the, like that would have been quite a problem if I had smashed a bottle of
Rodeo. You would have probably been in jail.
Probably. So like we stopped. Yeah. So definitely I was never physically violent with boyfriends. I've not even been able to like carry a functional relationship ever in my life yet. But the first couple relationships were when I was 20, and that one was so abusive and scary. You know, when you're in those things, like you fully shut down. Like I was so stressed. I couldn't really do anything about it. And like the way that it shows up now, which is really, it's happening a lot actually, is if someone asks me, what are you doing today? I'm like, it's none of your fucking business, because I feel like that they're coming at me to like trap me.
I can hear that being your response.
Yeah. And it doesn't, maybe I don't say it to him, but it's in my body. I'm like, you don't need to know what I'm doing. Like, you don't need to know my schedule. Yeah. Even if I'm sitting on my couch doing nothing, you don't need to know it. Hey, it's okay. My dog's scared.
But it's
of the
like
wind.
A safety thing.
It
the
is.
Wind is winding, but it's like a safety thing for mm-hmm. you.
Yeah. It's a safety thing. And so I'd say it was like very meek and very like shut down. Wasn't showing my personality. Wasn't expressive in those early relationships. Excuse me. You can see his little head. And then it's kind of swung the other direction where like I kind of swing my dick, and I'm working on that right now. Because swinging my dick is
elaborate, please. We'd love to know about swinging dicks here.
Okay, I want to be careful, like, talking about, like, the masculine and feminine energies, but, like, I sit more comfortably in, like, in a less feminine expression of energy, I guess, if we're going to try to, like, label what it is. And I attract, fucking love them, fucked up little artsy boys, but, like, I end up being daddy, right? And it's because that's safe to me, but I'm not particularly attracted to it, actually, in the, like, it kind of turns off the other stuff, but it's because, like, you can't get anything from me because, like, I'm controlling the situation. You're not buying me anything and I'm not going to have to owe you anything. Okay. Do you want to be a part of this? You can't. So I hope you don't mind.
Bring the baby in.
He has wind trauma. he's like, I need to speak of my problems. Yeah, so it is manifested. I was talking to my mom about this. It's like childhood trauma turns into this, like, young adult trauma. And then I feel like in my young adult trauma, I carry those almost more now. Like, everyone is very on, like, it's only childhood trauma. And I was like, the smaller stuff is what contributed to, like, me seeking out really large traumas somehow. And then those ones are the ones that I'm left to deal with now. You know, so. Less dick swinging. I feel very uncomfortable in any kind of, like, surrender situation with men. And I don't even hate, like, I actually love men, and I think that we should, like, build them up, because I think building each other up equally is what's going to help us out in, like, a real way, not in, like, a, you know, the way that the patriarchy shit kind of way. Sorry, I'm, like, rambling on. And the dog threw me off.
No, the dog is great. Do you think that has led to where you are now, like, these reflections for present day, like, you and I have, like, random fun conversations, it'll just be like, this fucking thing, blah, 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 blah. But also now, I think we can also bring this conversation as how spiritual you are and how connected you are. Do you think that you have gone to being like, this shit was an extreme, to, like, a different, oh, here's a connection and I understand and process it differently?
Yeah. So I think for me, and I guess I didn't say this when I introduced myself because we went on to a different title, but for those that don't know, I'm a medium / psychic intuitive guide. I don't really know what titles you want to throw on there, and a somatic facilitator, and very connected in my life to spirit. And I use that. It's a relationship I use very much. And I would say that where the power gets to come back into my court in a non, like, negative traumatic response way is that all of these lessons and all of these things that came from all these experiences created a deck of knowledge that experience that I'm able to empathize with people. It's experience that, like, when I see another person, I can help, like, walk them through some of this stuff. And I actually don't know that everybody gets the blessing of being able to, like, alchemize the shit that happens to them. And you know, for whatever reason, for me, like, the switch was flipped where I was able to take the stuff that has happened and really try to use it in a way that, like, benefits myself and other people. And that certainly is, like, my spiritual practice. And who knows, I think that we actually hear a lot of the kids that are raised in households of dysfunction, and they have a lot of the abilities that I have, like, switched on, and it comes from, you know, being, like, hyper vigilant of your surroundings. So I actually wouldn't even call myself, like, an empath. The way people are like, I'm an empath, like, yes, I can feel your shit, but I actually am a little bit detached from it. I'm a bit detached from it, and, like, that doesn't rule my life in that way, but a lot of people have that, and it can end up showing in the ways that, like, my current job is that I've develop these skill sets to, like, read the energies and the people around me, and to be sensitive to that, because everyone can do it, by the way.
I love that. I do love that. We did have a session and we talked to some people that have passed. Listen, y'all should book. But back to the conversation of I think that a lot of us experience trauma in different ways. I personally don't believe that if people haven't had any type of trauma. Some people are like, I've never had trauma in my life. And I'm like, oh, are you breathing? Are you alive? Were you in the pandemic? Like, are you a woman? Are you a man? Are you human? Like, it kind of shows up in everything that we do. And how are, do you exist outside of, because when I look at relationships, they're not always romantic, right? And so, do you see any of this childhood trauma showing up in like just friendship relationships?
Yeah, definitely. I would say that there's probably like a, sorry, the sunshine, like a hyper independence that can occur, you know? So it looks different than romantic relationships because it's not the man woman thing in the same way. But in my friendships, I'm trying to think of like how it's like really shown up. I think that there can be actually in the beginning when I was younger and maybe like switched off a bit. This could have been also because of drinking at the time. An inability to actually empathize with my close relationships and not go as deep with people. It just wasn't like available to me. And that's changed. Like now I've got like really deep, like fruitful, great relationships, but it kind of required me like kind of clearing some stuff out and like being able to crack open and be vulnerable. But there you go. That's what it is. Vulnerability in general was not an easy thing. Is not an easy thing. We know that. But like,
Sure.
I certainly carried like
Yeah.
a badge of honor around like how hard, how iced out, how like I could be. And that is something that like bums me out these days. And people are like, yeah, you have this front where you're trying to be like all tough. And I'm like, no, I'm like actually quite soft. And I'm just like existing now. I was like, you don't even know like where we came from, where I was like daggers out, bitch, like the second you were even to like to come near me.
Yeah.
So I would say that's how it's affected just all relationships. Everything in life was this like really rigid, defensive attitude and behavior. And it was for safety, right? And it was because
Yeah.
I didn't see my mom having any defense. And so
Ooh.
I'm like, anyone that comes near, like I tell her, I'm like, Mom, I'm like your fucking Rottweiler because of the, you know, she sees the good in everyone in such a way that
I'm
I
like,
love. And sometimes I'll be like, Mom, you're tripping. I was like, that person is insane. And she's like, oh, she's not dumb. She's just like, she's sweet and she like
Uh-oh.
wants to love people and like she wants to see the good in them. And I think I went the opposite. Wow. The opposite way where I was like, y'all are fucked. I don't trust you. I don't trust you. I don't trust you. Like nothing. And so I don't do that anymore so
That
much.
is the word that, like, as you're talking, just keeps like flashing at me, like this light. Trust. Like, what? That feels like such a powerful word as someone that has experienced trauma, who doesn't trust people out the gate. So, you know how people are like, I trust everyone until I'm like, I
That's
don't fuck with
insane.
you until. Yeah, what is that? Why? It's
I
not
don't
for me.
I had to learn this kind of tactic to like make to soften. This is how I was able to soften a bit, is that I trust me now. I trust like the decisions I make, except for sometimes I do stupid things, obviously. But because I can trust me, that makes it so the people around me, that I don't have to put so much weight in if I can trust them. Granted, if you're gonna be like a really close relationship to me, like it's a different thing. But like I know how to read the situation. I can like read you, like I know what I'm up to. So like whatever choices that you make that are not trustworthy towards me, like that's honestly on you. Like that's fucked on you. Even if it's painful, it's been able to help me like soften a little bit so I'm not coming at someone with the kind of like manifesting them being untrustworthy by me already placing that on them. I've had to work on that anyways.
What about forgiveness? Do you believe in her? You
Sure.
pause like,
I mean, I do. I actually don't really think I don't really hold grudges anymore. I have hard boundaries. Like the ex that was like super violent. I'll knock him out. And if he watches this, I'll knock you out. You come around me. But I forgive you for being a fucking twat. And he has his payment, his like what is, or these people in general, myself, what we have to the what is it that I'm trying to say? Our karma to it is that we have to live with the fact that that's the person that we are. Like I did when I was shitty and I attracted shitty men, that was like my karma karmatic loop. So I trust that people who are shit twats, they are living in their karmic loop. So I can kind of lean into forgiveness that way.
Ooh, tell me more about a karmic loop.
So to me, I really do feel that if you want to call it karma or just literally manifesting, whatever frequency you're resonating on, you're calling that stuff in. So if you're being a dick to people, your experience of life is that people are dicks to you. Whether or not you're like maybe consciously like recognizing that at the moment, you're calling that in. And I think that's kind of how karma in more of like a real time in this reality hits us, mm-hmm. you know? And mm-hmm. I talk about it with my family. So I view it as like the way that I see it in my mind, it's this like loop that you're sending out, a loop of energy. And it's like, if you are in like a bad way, treating people badly, this whole loop of energy has to make its way back to smack you in the ass. So even if you like change your behavior, you still kind of have like a load of crap that's like going to hit you, and you got to like stay strong and like
go through the tunnel.
Got to go through the tunnel to like kind of clear your, what, and I really just see it like, really it's just like waves of energy that you're sending out. It's not even like supposed to be this big like spiritual thing of like there's all these things that are at play. It's like literally you sent it out and it's returned to sender. So
when you realize like the things from your past truly affect what's navigating moving forward, like my question is, so what did you do then? Like how did you navigate it? Because sometimes, okay, let me take my step back. I think that people want to heal so badly, but mm-hmm. also don't realize that there is no just like healed. Like they put healing on a pedestal, and I think that's
like you
awful.
Arrive there somewhere.
Yeah, like there is no arrival. Like no. It's how you navigate through it, right?
Yeah.
And so, how have you navigated through? Because once you get that information, it's like fuck. Now I know this is the reason, and you can't unknow it.
Yeah.
And so, like, how do you navigate through the shit that you now know?
Well, yeah, it is kind of like this, like once the switch is on, it's like taped up and you're like, I can't turn it off now. Now I know. And like now,
Super fuck.
Yeah. So I think I went on that kind of arc too, where I was like, gotta heal. I gotta be accountable for all of my shit. I'm like super critical. I was super critical of myself and like trying to like tick off all the boxes of all the stuff and filter it out. And that was like the initial like push. So, you know, I mean, like I'm a practitioner of a lot of these things, but not obsessively doing them. But I was going to do all this stuff, reading all the books. You should see my bookshelf. And it's useful. I think it's really good for someone in the beginning to kind of like fill their mind with like potential ways to help yourself to like build your toolbox. But that's what it should be, is you're building your toolbox, because stuff comes along the way. There is going to be trauma that happens to you as an adult. We all know it. My dad killed himself a year ago, and that is not just gone because I'm an adult. So I'm not affected by trauma. That is, and I'm like, okay, cool. So I gained all these tools. Let me like pull out which ones I need to use to now navigate this hurdle in my experience, or this like scratch on my lens of life. So that's what I would say to also anyone who's on like the path of healing. I think people are honestly being traumatized by healing.
Yes. Let's have that conversation, because mm-hmm. I am so tired. Like I love reading. I'm a lifetime student. Mm-hmm. But I do think that there can be overkill, and also everyone is not a practitioner or a teacher just because they're on the internet.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It actually does like require some experience and some like, I don't want everything to be like from institutions to teach you, but like having a mentor, sure. Like you got to learn somewhere. You got to have someone, like just because you read the book doesn't mean that like you're the thing. Totally. Like have a little bit of integrity and take some courses. It doesn't mean you have to get like a credit from a college, but take some stuff, like stack your deck so you can actually be useful and don't just spit it out at the people. Because what I find is a lot of people are just regurgitating what they're hearing on, you know, that's on Instagram. They see an infographic, but then people are taking that and they're like therapizing themselves to such a degree that, well, everyone's got it diagnosed as everything right now. And I'm like, well, if we've all got everything there, then there's nothing, right? Like if we're all on the thing, then the thing doesn't really exist, I don't think. It's kind of how I see it. I don't know if that makes sense, but I don't know that. Yeah, I think that it was like a newer thing for it to be so available to everybody, which is great. And so now it needs to happen is the integration of what it actually means, turning the knowledge into wisdom as like a society. And that means that like, it's not just knowing, it's like knowing how to use it and knowing that you don't have to use it as a crutch all the time. So that's why anything that I'm teaching people, especially like intuitively and like all the stuff that I do, the goal is that you are learning that nothing is outside of yourself, that you actually have it all. It's just picking from your toolbox. And like, I was talking with a friend about this. I don't know that it is. There's something about, like, returning to yourself, maybe, that I find a little bit tricky. I don't know that you ever leave yourself. It's just kind of uncovering some of the layers so you can just, like, see what's there. I'm rambling again on with this stuff, but I do feel it's a funny thing, because, like, I work in the field of this, and also I can see how imbalanced it's become. And then people are spiraling out. They're like, I have all these things. All this is wrong with me. I'm also like, you're also just like a person, and like, you'd maybe be kind of boring if you were healed all the way.
Yeah, I don't know. Also, what does that look like? But I do.
I agree
that people will look at like social media and be like, is that me? Mm-hmm. Are these the things that I have? And I'm like, I don't know. Maybe you're just having a bad day.
Right.
Do I have ADD? Do I have anxiety? Probably we all have anxiety. Like, what do you want me to say?
Yeah, it's like, someone's like, okay, if you have, like, you might. There's this thing, I think, where people are trying to be like, I'm not supposed to go through having any feelings. Like, I should just be unaffected by everything. I have a you know, maybe this is where an overcorrection for me would be, is that I have a strong attachment to non-attachment, ironically. Like, I'm like, just let it go. Just let it go. Don't care. Don't care. Just fucking let it go. And, like, sometimes that's not helpful to be so like on myself about needing to let things go all the time. And then I get kind of like a bit too detached maybe from things I should actually be looking at. And perhaps that's the way I'm becoming avoidant. Oops.
What do you think a healthy relationship does look like?
In my mind, the one that I've made up without any example, is I think it's just two individuals who can just like fully embody who they are, or to the best of their ability. I know we can't always exist in that space, right? Like we whatever. And it's paralleled growth with each other instead of like full enmeshment. I think full enmeshment, I don't know that is actually something that works. Maybe it doesn't work for me. And like, I feel like for me, love should create freedom and not the opposite. I've not personally seen that expression of it yet. I know it exists. It's just like how you get there. I don't know. I'll let you guys know when I find out.
updates.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think it's just like, it should be like they're an addition to, and like, sure, you go through hard times, but the relationship is in addition to who you are as a whole. And it's not that they're completing you. I think that kind of thinking around it freaks me out.
Does love scare you?
Saying the word makes me want to like puke, like puke. like overall, like love for the people around me, totally fine. Like, yeah, like I want love to be like a thing that radiates out and like as an energy, totally down. But the second someone's like, love you, I'm like, my friend who called me last night, we hung up the phone and she's like, okay, love you night. And I was like, I'm like, I need to do better. So I said it to her and I was like, itchy. And it's not that I don't love these people. I just, this is a trauma for me to unpack at some point.
You're like, not today.
Not today.
What has been your biggest oh shit moment as you have been able to, let's just say you have this new lens of like life. Like what has been the biggest oh shit moment in these, the big transitions? Because I think we're always in transition. And I think I've known you for a few years and I've seen you transition. We both had dads die. Mm-hmm. We are different people from that. Like it's a continued transition.
Yeah.
Like what has been the biggest oh shit bitch moment?
Yeah, I would say it was a couple. There's been, you know, a few. So one of the biggest ones was my COVID relationship was my biggest, hang on, I just start first. I had a friend pass away right as COVID started. That didn't like click me over yet, but that was certainly, it was the beginning step. So that one was like the first time I lost someone where I was like, actually, I think you know this person who passed away. My friend Tristan worked at Feed the Streets.
Yes, but yes.
Yeah. So that was like the first moment where I was like, oh, there's something that like hurts really big. And then it set me up. So then I had a relationship during COVID that was, he would say in some ways blew the doors off of me and like, you know, making me aware. He's the one that pointed out that like the gun thing with my dad was abusive, but our relationship was also incredibly toxic. And it was mirroring my mom's with my stepdad, but there was a lot of love there. And then when it ended, the pain that I felt from that was what like slingshot me into kind of that initial burst of like big time healing stuff, like really like getting into it in a real way. And then dad dying obviously was the next one, because that one shifted from like, what do I want to say? It's not that I don't give a fuck, but when dad died, I went, oh, there's actually no reason to give a fuck about any of this like stuff that I'm holding on to of like hiding or not showing up. Like, I'm like, people are, we're just, well, I don't care to like, you know, I am a model, but like that was, I wouldn't say it was my identity, but certainly like I couldn't post on Instagram how I wanted to post. I can't like, you know, be as expressive. Like, I'm a weird gal and that's fine. Like, I've been weird since I was a kid. We're weird all the way up, and like people know it, but not to the degree they know now. But when dad died, I was like, oh, I'm just gonna like offer people everything that I have, because he didn't do that. And that's why he ultimately ended his life, if we're gonna be real about it. So, and I see a lot of myself in my dad. So when I saw someone who I recognized myself and do that to himself, and I was like, it's because he wasn't living as bold and like authentically as himself as he could. And I know that there's stuff he just wasn't doing. He had a lot of shame, a lot of religious shame. And so I was just like, fuck it, like let the people in. And so you've seen over the last bit now, things have gotten weirder and weirder, and like, welcome to the ride.
Weird people. No, I'm like, ooh, I love a weird person. I like to call that when I lose my fucks. Like, I say that's just like my, I'm like, I feel like when I turned 30, I lost a lot of fucks.
Yeah.
But since my, so for those, you've been listening, my grandfather died who raised me. and I felt like after that, like you were saying, it was just kind of just like, these things don't matter. Mm-mm. Like, you want me to be mad about something and I just don't care. Like this, like, does it really matter? And people want you to care about certain things. You're like, I just don't.
You probably felt too, there's this, it's not that I don't have empathy for people. We've talked about that. Like, I know that pain, and I've talked about this in other things where like pain is pain. And like, I can't say that like the pain that someone else is experiencing isn't painful, because it's not as bad as what I've had. Like, if it hurts you, it hurts you. But I do have less of a, maybe I have more boundaries, but like am I curious? I'm just kind of like, okay, like I have less of a tolerance for like frivolous woes, if that makes sense, for my own and for other people. I'm kind of like, all right, we got to like buck up. Sorry that's happening to you. Sorry it's happening to me. Shit can stink sometimes, but like, we're cool. The tolerance for bigger things is now available, I guess.
How'd you figure out boundaries? I find that people struggle with this. Like, there's things we were never taught that people think we should know, like how to say yes and no, boundaries. And people are like, why don't you know? I'm like, bitch, you don't know it. Why are you like? So how did you figure that out?
Still figuring it out always, right? It's always a practice that needs a thing. For me, honestly, this visual is what helps me the most. I have a shelf in my mental shelf, and people, there's like levels to this shelf, and people can go on it, and it's like, I love you, but like, you got to go on the shelf. And that's the boundary. And like, it just means like energetically, it's, you don't need to come near me. And what I've learned with boundaries and with practice is you can express them with love and care. It doesn't have to be with like, I'm so pissed at you, like, don't fucking talk to me. Like, hey, like, I really care about you, but like, I actually need to remove communication. Whatever. And if they don't honor that, then you don't have to like argue them anymore. You literally just like away with you. And then like the other layers of the shelf are like, you go in a locked box and like actually fuck off. But the interesting thing with boundaries, go ahead. The interesting thing that I have been seeing with boundaries is that I'll express something to new people. So the idea is with boundaries, it's I'm telling you my boundaries so we actually have room to connect with each other more closely in other ways. Like, these are the things that we can both adhere to create a better container for us. And, you know, as I'm like dating people and I'll tell people certain things, like I hate being touched, kissing, any of that stuff in the first few dates with somebody. I don't like it. I'm not a prude, but like, I just do not want that until like, I know your energy is familiar to me. And almost without fail, any dude that I have it. Said this to is immediately trying to kiss me, is immediately trying to touch. And I'm like, I'm not playing coy with you. I wasn't trying to like give you a test to see if you'd break it. I mean, the test would be like, do you honor the boundary? And they don't. And so that is an interesting boundary thing that I'm seeing now, where I have them, I've worked to have them, I've worked to learn what my boundaries even are. I'm working to put them into play. And then even still, sometimes I let them be broken. And then I'm like, oh, fuck, I can feel like how icky I feel after that, like boundary's been broken. And I gotta like, the response is to like lay it up there again and even firmer, and like having to kind of like weed people out faster. Since they seem to think it's like a cute challenge.
Do you think that people try you more because of the way that you look?
Yeah. I would say, I was speaking to a friend about this, an experience and a word that feels very big to me is to be conquered. It has always been to be conquered. And I think that ties back into like adult men. When I was a young girl, you know, it's always conquering me. It's like, can I get it? Can I have it? And for a while there, I was a little hoe ass, which no shame to anybody, but I was like, wasn't that hard. That's changed. I thought, you know, that was an attempt to like try to get the power back, but it didn't work. I do think there is a bit of that. And I would go further out and even say, we live in Los Angeles. There's a lot of beautiful people around here. It's not like this is something like new that you see or whatever. I think the energy that I have is confusing to people. Not like, it's been reflected back to me a few times that I'm a bit dry, and it's not that I don't care. I'm not friendly. It's just when I see someone, I'm not like, oh my God, hi. I'm just like, I'm just going to like greet you. Like, I'm going to talk to you. Like, I'm talking like this, and I don't care who you are. I don't care where you fall socially. Like, I'm just speaking to you normally. And I think that trips people up a little bit, especially here. And so then I find that maybe the interaction, which this might be their attachment style, is to try to like get me. And I'm like, yeah, I don't need to be got. I'm here. I'm chilling, but you are freaking out fumbling me really hard because you can't listen to me because you are trying to acquire something.
Their goal. They have a goal.
You have a goal. And I was like, but you don't even know. Yeah. You don't actually know what you're trying to get after. You're just kind of like, you're like in a tizzy right now trying to acquire this thing that isn't actually even real, because you're not looking at me. You're not knowing me or listening to me. So that's been my experience.
Yeah. With people. Yeah. I do think that so this is what I think about LA. And I think I've told you this before. I think it's a fake place.
We're in a bubble.
It's like a facade place. Like, there's places that like shit's not real. Yeah. LA, Las Vegas, Florida, parts of Arizona, Texas. There's like parts that you're like, for what? Like, what is that? And I think the energy of Los Angeles in general is so unstable because people come here to find themselves.
Yeah.
And what they find is no one gives a fuck. It's all about money. Mm-hmm. It's all about a show. And it's all about what people can get from you. Yeah. Which it sounds similar to like this conversation of like what people are trying to conquer, obtain from you. And you're like, there's nothing to obtain.
Yeah. Like, if you would just like be chill, you'd actually like, we could cohabitate, we could exist together. Like, we could have the energy that swirls together, but instead you're over here flipping out and trying to like put it in a jar. The second you put it in a jar, it's dead. Like, no.
What is the biggest thing that people are surprised about? Yeah. Or that you have heard?
That they're surprised about with me? I don't know now.
You've kind of just been unleashing it now.
Yeah, at this point I'm like, why are you surprised? I think this comes down to like the projections I think people have of me and then versus actually knowing me. Just because I don't come off as nice really bothers me. I'm very kind. And so I think that they're like, wait a minute. Yeah. They're
nice,
like,
versus kind.
I don't like nice. Nice is like, I'm doing this because socially I have to do this for you, and like, meh. And it is attached to that voice to me. Kind is like, yeah, I was just like, I'll whatever. I treat you with kindness and care.
Kind is why we do feed the streets, not nice.
Kind is, Yeah, I'm not being nice and giving you a sandwich. Kindness, because I want you to have care. You're a human being. Yeah. I treat you with care. I will treat anyone with kindness. I will not be nice to everyone. You know, it's a different, I think it's a, one is very up here and the other one is like a grounded experience that you're offering people. And so I think because they assume I'm not nice because I'm not doing the showy part of it, that I must not be kind or friendly, when in fact I'm pretty friendly. I'm like generally like grumpy and a little bit annoyed all the time, but it's not actually at anyone in particular. I'm kind of just like it's like perpetually, I'm just kind of always like, what the fuck are you doing? What the fuck am I? If I'm putting it on you, I'm putting it on me. I'm like, what is this? No one knows.
You have had some rough relationships you've shared. How did you get out of them? Because I ask you that because I know there's mm-hmm. people that might be listening and might be in an abusive relationship now,
yeah.
might be having that oh shit connection with the childhood parts of it. And it might feel like a spider web or something that they just like can't get out of. And like, if you could give anyone any tips or like, just like real life conversation, how did you get out? Like any ways for like support ways for them to also navigate the shit?
Sure. So it's interesting. I can't say who at this moment, but there's someone very close to me in my family that's going through a similar thing, a really bad one. And we're looking at this right now. And we're like, how do you help somebody that I'm watching go through the exact same thing that I did? And also, I want this to be very clear. Men can be in abusive relationships too. They can be the ones being abused. And there's no shame around it. And it can be really hard to say and acknowledge to yourself that that's happening. And I want to acknowledge and say that I see that. So it's very difficult, I think, for people to get out of it, because this is something I want people to like note. Oftentimes the abuser will use something from the beginning of the relationship or whatever that can make you feel guilty. Maybe you were a brat. Maybe you like said something wrong. Maybe you just did something that wasn't like great in the beginning of the relationship, but it wasn't the end of the world. They'll use that and they'll twist that around, and they will usually use that as the guilty thing to be like, I treat you like this because you did this to me back when. So if you can find something like that, and to me, it took a friend pulling me aside at Burning Man. And she goes, hey, I just want you to know that like, I see what's happening. And she's like, it's not okay. Like, I see this, because you also usually end up in a bubble. The person will not let you have like a sounding board. I couldn't be on my phone. He would go through all my text messages. If I talked to anybody, he would lose his shit. I wasn't allowed to speak to a quick example, just so you can kind of, I think this helps people register when they're being abused. We were setting up at this hotel. We were doing a party for them. We needed a screwdriver. The elevator was broken. So I ran downstairs to get the screwdriver from the car. I ran back upstairs. That was it. And I get laid into saying that I fucked the valet, that I cheated. And I'm just like, what the fuck is happening? But they'll do these kinds of things to you, but you don't have anyone around you to talk to be like, hey, what's happening to you is fucked up. Like, it's not okay that's happening. And on purpose, they create this cage. So it took a friend being like, I saw what's happening. This isn't okay what's happening. But it does take someone kind of saying that. So if you are seeing or hearing this podcast and you can relate to like a moment, like I was talking about in the beginning, or like this kind of like badgering kind of thing, using guilt, calling you a liar when you've not lied about things, that will mess up your head. That did that to me really badly. I was accused of lying about stuff all the time. And I was like, I don't even know what you're talking about, but it messes with your reality. Start to just recognize these things and to like make your way out. Honestly, if you can find a way to tuck some like money away, try to speak to a friend if you can. I found the easiest thing was I immediately pulled the plug. I said, I'm out. I put my stuff in some bags. I left most of my stuff at the house. I went and stayed with a friend. I had to ask a family member for like a couple grand to like help me get out, if you have that available to you. And then important, usually in these kinds of relationships, the person who is the abusive one will do every tactic they can to get you back. So they're going to be really, really nice. They're going to talk to your friends and family. They're going to, you know, try to really like win you over. When that doesn't work anymore, don't let it work. When that doesn't work, they're going to go absolutely bash it. They're going to go fucking crazy. They're going to try to threaten you. I've got the death threats, the stalking, the whatever. They're going to go insane because in their mind, their survival depends on having control. And they need to survive. So knowing that imagine you're someone whose system fight or flight has been hit, and theirs has been, even though they're demons, they're going to do everything in their power to reel you back in. And just, you have to stay strong. It's going to be very hard. Stay strong. And I'm telling you, give it 21 days. 21 days is like what I find to be like the magic number, because that breaks the habit. Your system will start to regulate again away from them. And they're not going to, it's not going to feel as crazy. And you can start to kind of unpack what's happened to you. Just give it 21 days. And then, I mean, still stay the far fuck away from them, but give yourself that to get away. That was long-winded. Sorry.
No, that's perfect. I think it was very detailed and perfect. I do get people that question and ask, like, if I tell this person, like, if I tell my friend, like, they're always worried about being shot as the messenger, mm-hmm. right? Because they're not going to believe me. I remember when I told a friend, I was like, your boyfriend is cheating on you. And she was like, no, he's not. I was like, girl, I witnessed it. Like, yeah. I was there. Here's the photos. And she turned on me. Yeah. And so I think that's a big fear for people, especially in abusive relationships. And I also think that now people are like, I don't want to get involved. No, yeah. This is not my business. I don't want to get involved.
Yeah.
Which isn't tricky. Helpful.
No, it is. It's tricky because there is a sense of this sucks, but over-involvement can become enabling, unfortunately. There is a sense of like, there is a moment where you like, I say, this is what I'm having to do now. You release in a way where you're still kind of like keeping your finger on the pulse and you go, hey, I'm here. I can't keep helping you every single time you want to like come out and go back in and or not leave. But like, what am I trying to say? Participating in their pattern doesn't help them as someone who's trying to help them. So it's as you, someone that's trying to help them, creating a boundary of like, I'm here, I've got you. When you want to leave, you can stay at my house. Or like when you need whatever, you can come, we can figure that out. I'll find you resources. Those kinds of things. I would almost say that a relationship like that, especially if they're ones that are actually emotionally attached, like I didn't love the guy that I was with, but people who like love their person, it's essentially like dealing with someone who's a drug addict. Like they're hitting those high and low emotional things. That's why they're in it. Like the chaos of that is doing something to the system. And if anyone, I'm sure people listening to this podcast know that like dealing with someone who's in deep addiction is really hard, and you do actually have to have boundaries with someone who's trying to help them. So throw them the raft and the lifesaver whenever you can, but don't drown with them, I guess, is the thing. It's tricky.
How have you taken care of yourself? You know, I love talking about self-care, self-soothing, like a fucking stability, flotation devices, whatever you want to call it, a toolbox, whatever. But how have you taken care of yourself?
To be honest, I've probably been slacking on that a little bit lately because I just opened a new business and I'm totally fried. but when I'm on and doing myself well, I like hot yoga. Is really good. I can tell when I've not been doing it that I feel a little cuckoo. And as like, whatever cliche as it is, nature. I like to go on a real long hikes, super long hikes, maybe a little microdose, look at the plants, talk to the trees. My spiritual practice certainly, you know, fills my cup because of the connection that I have. Like, it really does truly create like a sense of like whimsy and magic in my life. And so like when I'm tapped in, that fills me up and I can like come back into my regular world and operate from that place. So this is actually a good moment for me to have to check in with myself and like take some go outside.
Yeah, I think, well, maybe not, you might get blown away. It's, I know, real, it's windy, y'all, so while we're recording this. I can't hear it, you can't hear it, but if you looked outside both our windows, it's giving cyclone. Like, California is active.
Yeah.
I think having this conversation just brings up so much. Like, I start thinking about like past relationships I've been in, like, you know, having your mother being murdered in front of you when you're one.
Yep.
Cash.
Well, it stays.
You and I talk real cash.
Mm-hmm. Hey, mom.
It does stay, right? Like, and we carry them. I was one, I might not have it, but I always know the journey. Mm-hmm. Something that also, I don't think I told you this, I'll tell the internet, it's fine. The anniversary of my dad's death is coming up, his birthday is coming up, and I'm worried and sad and anxious and starting to, I was like, therapy, here we go, girl. But there's also this other like thing with anniversaries and deadlines, and I'd love to talk through that with you a little bit, is the anniversaries that come up, but also the deadlines of like court dates, the deadlines of things due. So the man that murdered my mom, he's finally possibly being held accountable. It's been, I'll be 37 this year. So it's been 36 years. He's been in prison. He's never been held accountable for her murder, but they're putting him in front of the judge. It keeps getting delayed. The next time he's supposed to be in front of the judge is my goddamn birthday.
Isn't that fun? It's like fucking rude unless they deliver as a gift.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I was like, maybe this is my good karma that I've been putting out. Maybe this is the gift. But
that's crazy.
As someone that is, it's fucking crazy. As someone that has navigated all these things, how have anniversaries or deadlines or like dates? I think that we're kind of similar in our brains. It's like, ooh, what is that thing? Like, we might not always know the date, but we can feel it. Mm-hmm. How has that been for you?
So it's a little strange. What I noticed, and this is both with my friend who passed and my dad, the actual day of things, I have not yet experienced too much feeling on it at all. I'm kind of like indifferent. I can tell the few days leading up to it, it almost like presents to me as like PMS.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm just like irritable. Maybe I'm sad. Yeah, the dates and things are strange because I actually feel often that maybe I feel pressure that I'm supposed to be having some big emotional response to it. And I'm kind of going like, oh, it's not happening. I will say this in my dad's case, like he hated holidays and celebrating. So like, it's kind of like on brand that I would be like, I don't really have anything happening right now. Yeah. So those are the dates and things like that. I've almost detached from them. It is literally just the days around it. However, my dad died on Halloween, so it is a little bit ruined. And the season is really weird because as soon as it's like costumes are around and like I remember being on the street with all the costumes and I'm getting the phone call and I'm just like, what the fuck? Yeah, but I'm fortunate. I don't have like something that's impending all the time with the person that was involved with my dad's death. If that fortunate, I mean, I'd like to whatever, but yeah,
another
that's
day,
a
day. Another day.
That's a. That for you, that's like a heavy thing though, because it's never been able to close out. It's always just like, maybe this is happening. Maybe I have to brace for this thing. What is this thing that's going to occur like that you have coming up? And I think it will be really good for that to close out for you.
Me too.
It is like that. This, it needs to like, because you know, when I read his energy, it's fucked. He needs to stay locked away. He needs to stay the fuck far away from you. Mm-hmm. I actually went to a shaman after our reading.
Yeah, listen, y'all, we did a reading with my mom and my grandfather, and then Alyssa had to go get checked out. The vibes were vibing. I said, I told you.
You did. Vibes. He has them. They're not the ones you want to hang out with. I would wonder, and I'll be vague here, but I would wonder if there is a lot, like when I feel it, there's a lot of charged energy at him towards you. And this birthday thing is no just coincidence. Mm-hmm. And to me, it honestly feels like it's like battle royale that's occurring this day. And it's like, you'll prevail. But it is a very interesting, it just feels like. Blah, 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 blah.
I also feel like that. I talking about love and sex and relationships, because I think this has all been encompassing today. Mm-hmm. And trauma, the way that our lives have been, they've just been so deeply wound. And when you become an adult and you do the work, I fucking hate saying it, but once you start to process some things and you start to pull pieces apart, then you go, oh, this shit's a lot.
Yeah, it literally just keeps, you know, like the image I got right when you said that, you know, you've seen those stupid videos of people biting into cattails. Have you seen that?
Yes.
If you haven't seen that, you can go look it up. And it's kind of what it feels like. You're like, what happens if I like, if this conversation today was a little bit like, let's just pull on this little thing. That's like, oh, and you're like, oh, there's a lot. We could keep going.
Yeah. And then it's, you know, as we learn, as we grow, and, you know, religion, is also a shaper, as you've brought up a few times. We've had some podcasts talking about religion, Jehovah's Witness. We got some Quaker stuff coming out. We have all kinds of things, and how that also does shape the way that we see these things, because mm-hmm. the church does shape relationships. It does mm-hmm. shape sex. It does shape the way we should have love. And I think I went through a phase of, and I don't know if it's childhood trauma or whatever, but I had big, big childhood trauma. And then I also had like raised by my grandparents who were a different age and like took care of me and all the things. But then also the idea of love, it was just like, I don't know. I just don't think I'll ever find it. And now I'm like, oh my God, I'm so in love. Like, it's crazy. Like it's these huge dynamics because of the trauma. It makes us believe that we also aren't worthy of it a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever experienced that.
What clicked
like,
over for
well,
you?
I don't deserve it.
What for you was the thing that shifted with this partner that you have now? You're so in love, like that was able to like click it over. Because I wouldn't imagine that you can like dump all of the reasoning into the partner, right?
No, fuck no. He's cool and all, but but also it's love him. But I think there's also the dynamics of I am polyamorous, and so my balance. Mm-hmm. I always find like different types of people help balance me. Maybe it's the Gemini, who knows, you know, probably. Mm-hmm. But I think with this person, I have learned to go, I can see who you've been mm-hmm. and I can see how hard you've worked and I can see that you're still going through shit, but I love this person so much that I've learned to detach and let them do their own thing. Mm-hmm. I have found that like when I've loved people, I've been like, well, let me fix you.
Yep.
And I don't feel like, does he have shit? Absolutely. But doesn't anyone? Doesn't my other partners have shit? But I don't feel like I need to fix it. I feel like I want to walk beside it. Mm-hmm. Like I will tell him, I choose you every day. Mm-hmm. Like I choose you still. Mm-hmm. Because I think within like love and relationships and shit, I might love somebody, but I don't like him all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's still a choice, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and the relationship, like I need to be like friendly with you. Like we got to be friends.
Yeah.
I need to be able to like talk shit with you and also be like, what's this bitch over here?
Right. Wouldn't this like, right. I want to, sorry, go ahead.
No,
but as I hear you talking about this, I'm almost hearing like when we were speaking about how our relationship with healing evolves and changes, it sounds like it's almost mirroring your own potential, like potentially mirroring your relationship with yourself in healing.
Sure.
And instead of like, you have to do all these things, you have to fix all these things. It's like, there's just an openness for you to just be you and you exist as you. And then that is then reflected back towards with your energy towards your partner.
Which is the things, right? Like I always tell people, when I was navigating this shit, I went spiritual before I went therapy, mm-hmm. but I also think spirituality is therapy, mm-hmm. right? Like mm-hmm. therapy is just a fucking word for processing and yeah. like finding tools and things, guys. Sorry. We all spent a lot of money on these degrees. It's pretend.
I got words on that, but
ooh, I love it. Like I learned how to get into my body. I learned awareness of myself. I learned boundaries, mm-hmm. right? I learned fucking how to fuck myself, right? Like I learned how to be, you brought up something earlier. It's like you were talking about like how you are in friendships. Like it's very like self-sufficient. Like mm-hmm. That's how I feel like I am. And I feel like part of my love also needs to be self-sufficient. Like there's still this thing, and maybe you have this, like, I don't want to depend on people.
Yeah.
Even in business, I'd be like, you're taking too long. I'll just do it my goddamn self. And mm-hmm. I just can't. Like,
yeah.
It's like a whole thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is a lot of the things that I've done for myself, and I can look and go, oh, I see you're struggling. Mm-hmm. Have you looked into mental health services? Because in times before, I'm like, I don't want to be your therapist. Mm-hmm. I don't want to become a mental. I said, I want to love you and support you, but I don't want to be that person.
Yeah.
Which is growth to be like, I see you.
Yeah.
It's not that I don't have it. It's like to be here, you got to figure that shit out.
Yes. And like, I've been like high five you along the way and I can be like, hey, here's some options. But like, I noticed that as well. Like when I was talking about like swinging my dick and like how I become daddy, another version of that can sort of be like an evolved version of the like fix it on accident where like, look, it's part of my job to be of service to people to help them process. Right. But then I end up in a relationship where I'm kind of just like helping them process all the time. And I'm like, this isn't sexy for me. Like I don't. And then if it's all the time, if it's always on me and I don't feel like I can ever.
Nah, I want to bill you.
Like I want to bill you. I don't want to bone you. It's just like, it's a little tricky. unless there's like an even volley of a little bit of like, we both can spill sometimes and like process together in some ways around some things. But like, if I'm always the one that's like kind of problem solving for you, it isn't. I used to think that was like a good thing to be and a good thing to do. And that was loving. And that was like, honestly, probably where I found my value with somebody. But now I know already what my value is outside of offering that to like a romantic partner. So like, I don't want to have to do that all the time for you. I want you to just be kind of self-initiating your own, so share things with me. Like, look at this thing that I found that like really helped me out. Cool. Great. Here's my thing. Instead of me being the like pseudo therapist. Hi, please stay down.
Yeah. It takes a lot of energy to show up in general. And then when you're giving it away, it's just a lot. Okay, tell me about this therapy thing. You were like, I have more than that.
Okay, so people are not gonna like this. Really quickly, I just need to like do this in my notes. So here's a funny. It's not funny. I think it's funny, but it's not funny.
I'm already laughing. I'm ready.
So I haven't been to the classic therapy since I was a teenager. And of course they tried to diagnose me with oppositional defiance disorder. And I was like, I'm 14. Of course they hate you. And then like, shut up. And then another one was a man who tried to take me from my mom and tell her that he could raise me better and that they would turn me into the model that I should be. And they could like feed me to make me like lose the weight I needed to, whatever. And this is a therapist. What? Yeah, this is a therapist.
That sounds like a cult.
That worked at Gonzaga University. So like, know this. But also, I learned that at that young age, I would just manipulate my therapist, which is something that you can do. And I have got to say, and maybe it's because I've not gone back into therapy except for one time I tried it and it just didn't work for me, this version of therapy, because I do feel like it can, not for everyone, create a bit of a hamster wheel where like, I don't know that anything's getting solved when it's just like, we're just talking about this thing and it's kind of like, well, how do you feel about that? Like, I feel like there are some people are blessed with a therapist that can be like, hey, here's some reflections back to you. And like, here are some possible tools. But I just had never found a way to receive helpful tools back to get ourselves out of the hamster wheel, like repeating the trauma and repeating the stuff. Like, okay, we know that it's here now. We've talked about it for years. We know that this exists. So what do I do with it now? How do I move beyond this now? And I think there's different areas of therapy that can offer that. But I do think at large, what I see with like some friends and stuff is that it just kind of is this thing that you pay a lot of money to go like gossip chat for like an hour. And then often I see it be something that like is actually affirming that person's viewpoint rather than potentially helping them shift out of the bad behavior or the like unwanted systems. Do you know what I mean? Because if you're the one telling a therapist everything, they're not always getting the full picture. And so I actually don't know if you can like shift, but maybe a shift isn't what's desired. But for me, a shift is usually what's desired. I just, I got therapy trauma is what it is.
I think a lot of people do. And I think this is an actual conversation that I always want to have is that just because someone went to school to be a therapist doesn't mean they're good at their job.
Right.
Anyone can pass a fucking test.
Right.
And so I went to school for marriage and family therapy, but I am not a therapist because I chose to not get licensed. Mm-hmm. People go, wait, what? You went through the whole program? I said, did. And my master's in health psychology. And I did this and I did this. And they go, oh, well, why not? I said, because it's very one-sided, even in the education.
Right.
Like they don't show you how to look at people as like a whole.
A whole, yep.
And I do think that people that continue education and learn it, sure. But I think that therapy, talk therapy is not for everyone. Mm-hmm. And I think that folks are like, this is the only way. And I'm like, there's not. There's like, there's so many ways to navigate the shit that you go through every day. Mm-hmm. And sometimes sitting and talking is helpful. Mm-hmm. And sometimes stretching your body is helpful. Sometimes sweating and having some music around you. Like sometimes running around naked is helpful. Eating snacks. I don't know. I've done all
the the combo pack. The combo pack is a whole approach to like your well-being and so you can have a different lens on yourself so you can like gain new awarenesses. Like I love an epiphany moment that you have about yourself. You're like, oh, I've been doing this thing because of this thing. And like, those are so great. And I think that you get to have those by having experience and by trying new things and like kind of getting out of your comfort zone a little bit. And sure, talk therapy can maybe assist in some of that. But I think that can't be the only thing that you're doing. Part of it, I think, is also just living. Go live just outside of the box that you've created for yourself. And I think that a lot of growth happens in that space too.
This is so fun. This is all over. This is the kind of conversations I like to have. This is why I only talk to people I want to talk to, because it's my show.
Thanks for having me on.
So the last the last question we have is truly because I am nosy. What is the wildest thing someone has texted or DM'd you in the last 2 weeks? I know you get shit.
I do get shit. I do get shit. Okay, I gotta, it's not wild, and I'm gonna be careful how I say this, because I want people to be able to do this. It's okay if you do this, but it has been an interesting experience for me shifting this, because I'm very vocal about my dad's suicide on the internet and what I do in my job. People send me messages that are so wild about their experience. Like, you know, something will happen. I don't want to be so specific, because there's one that occurred recently. There's a couple that occurred, a couple people that I know recently had the same thing happen. And the messages that I get about that, like, I'm fine, it's okay. But it can, like, you're like reading this and you're just like, whoa, we didn't even get a hello.
It's like graphic.
Yeah. And it's because they're desperately seeking help. And I'm like down to help. But I'm also kind of like, my initial trigger is like, why the fuck are you talking to me like that? I'm like, oh wait, because I'm someone that is supposed to help you through this. Yeah, if it's not that, it's just someone consistently trying to go on dates and saying, hey, you're hot, you're hot, you're hot, you're hot, you're hot, you're hot, you're hot. And I'm like, wow, thank you very much. But I wish I had something like, I wish I had something more juicy for you that was like funnier. It's just, thanks. Yeah, lately it's been a, people are really seeking a lot of help. So I'm getting really dramatic. I don't want to say dramatic. I'm getting very detailed messaging without a like, hey, can we chat kind of thing.
Yeah. Would you like to set a boundary around that? If someone's listening, like, how would you like people to reach out to you if they do?
Yeah. Look, this is actually a boundary that I'm working on. I think I talked to you about this a little bit. I'm, hey, I would love to talk to you. Some stuff has happened. Is it okay if I message you about this? Would be one way. But also, it's my job. It is part of my job. You know, yes, I'm like a psychic and a medium, but the other part of my job is like, I work, as like a, what do I want to call it? Like a grief coach and a somatic facilitator. So it's like this full package thing that I can offer you. And I want to be able to give you everything I can for free, but also the energy exchange has to change or has to happen a little bit. So if you want to talk to me about stuff, I'm down, but honestly, even just like a, hey, something's come up in my life, can I get your insight? Warms me up a lot better than just like blasting me with your stuff. And then, you know, and I'm going to do what I can for you. And then, I'm working on this one, Jim. I don't really know. This is a boundary I have to figure out, because it's so tricky for me to do what I do. And I want to give it to everyone for free. I really want to be able to be like, here's all I have. Like, I want to, but I literally cannot do it. I can't. So
I've been there. Listen,
I don't know.
the way I set the boundary, because people used to send me essays and essays of sexual assault, and I'd be like, I would say, like, I would love to show up for you, but just as, you know, we're learning about boundaries, you can't just drop that on me, because I have to also be in the same, I have to be in a good headspace to show up.
Yeah, you have to be able to show up. There you go. Yeah. I can't show up for you. I'm not always on the like, hey, we're like creating a space, like holding the space for this moment. Sometimes I'm just being a little shit bag, like with my fucking hand in my drawers, watching TV, and I'm like, whoa.
Watching Love is Blind.
Yeah, I'm watching trash TV and I want to be able to help you, but like, I don't know how to like approach this right now, because I'm over here. And that's what it is. I want to be able to create hold the container for you. I want to be able to like hold the space. And I can't do that if we're just like full-fledged dumping on me from the jump.
Yeah. Before we leave, tell them all the ways that they can work with you. Tell them what you do.
Okay. Well, I need to make an actual website for myself, but I have a shop, a studio in Highland Park called Anju, and Anju Los Angeles.
It's cute, y'all.
Thank you. Yes, you've been there. We do a bunch of workshops and events and things like that. I teach things there. I facilitate things there. We've got other people that come in. So that's one way to come in to work with me that I think is really accessible. And then If you want to email me at hellowhosaidthat@gmail.com, we can do an intuitive session, which is, we can talk to the dead. We've done it.
We did it.
Yes. I'll read your life. I'll tell you what's up. I'll talk to you about spirit stuff. People love tarot. They want the tarot from me. So guess what? I have the tarot from you. You can email me about that. And on Instagram, it's just @_AlyssaConger_. And you can DM me. You can even DM me about your problems if you want to say hello first. We can talk about it.
Please say hello first. Soften that blow for us. This has been so fun. I love knowing such interesting, weird people because I think I'm an interesting, weird person. So here we are.
You are.
Before we go, just again, can you tell him, nim, she, they, them, zay, mm-hmm. all of them, where they can find you directly?
Where they can find me directly is probably best to go on my Instagram or my email, hellowhosaidthat@gmail.com. Is that hellowhosaidthat@gmail.com?
Is there a question mark or is it straight?
It's straight. Hellowhosaidthat@gmail. And that's my email. That's the best way. Actually, I would love it. I would love it if people would listen to me and send me an email to the email.
Look at us creating boundaries, y'all. We love emails.
If you send me an email to that email, I can make it happen for you. And like the readings, if you want to just like try me out, the readings that I do for $50, it's super accessible. They're in depth. They're like 30 minutes long. I send it to you via video recording, turns around in 48 hours. You don't even have to be face to face with me. Those slap. Those are great. You need to like a little quick answer about some shit. I've got you. Book that through my email. Everything through my email. If you're grieving and want to work with me somatically and like the whole thing. Oh, I should say this. This is like the most important part. All of the work that I do, everything that I do is all around creating mind, body, and spirit connection. So all of these things operate together. And one of these things is usually offline and it changes. And it's all just about trying to come into balance with all of these things because they all work together and it can really open up your life. So that's what I do. That's my work. And if you want to do any of that with me, hellowhosaidthat@gmail.com.
Look at that. That's how you find her. That's it, y'all. Until next time.